Welcome to the Strong Savvy Cyclist and Triathlete Podcast, where we talk strength training, science, and all things performance for cyclists and triathletes, helping you be a stronger, more savvy athlete now and for many years to come. Here's your host, Menachem Brody.
Hey everybody, and welcome to episode 177 of the Strong Savvy Cyclist and Triathlete Podcast. Well, this podcast is going to go live on Monday, December 4th, 2023, and we are pulling from the archives an episode we did back in November of 2021 called When and How to Progress Your Strength Training. Now, this episode is a little bit shorter. It's going to set the table for what, God willing, will be next week, publishing the interview with all-time world record holder Brian Carroll, who has lifted some heavy shizzle in his life. He has a grand total of 1306 in the powerlifting meet. For those of you who do not know, powerlifting is squat, bench press, and deadlift. So you have to be extremely strong and versatile in all three of those in order to claim that title. And Brian is one of the strongest dudes ever in all time. And we are going to pick his brain next week about lifting heavy stuff. Now, he co-authored a book with a mentor of mine, Dr. Stuart McGill, called Gift of Injury. So if you are a listener of this podcast, which you are here, I would strongly recommend picking up a copy of Gift of Injury from backfitpro.com, www.backfitpro.com, and reading Brian's story. Essentially, he went from top of the world powerlifter to the depths of despair, and the opening introduction of his book is extremely powerful. I will not give it away. I strongly recommend that you pick up that book because it will help you to understand something that I have been trying to share with you and bring you along the educational journey about tissue adaptation in order to be able to handle lifting heavy stuff. And this is something that is really close to home for me. I also had a back injury from powerlifting many years ago, which thankfully Dr. McGill from a distance managed to help me to heal. And now I am the only McGill certified practitioner who is also a cycling and or triathlon coach in the entire world. And I've got to tell you that some of the most rewarding and most difficult work that I do is working with the McGill patients, those who have had back injuries for long periods of time. Now, in today's episode, I'm going to share with you, again, it's from the archives. It's from episode 121. I've done minimal editing to this. I only really edited out the intro. The rest of it is pretty much the same because this is setting the table for our conversation with Brian, which again, hopefully will happen tomorrow. We'll record and then we will post it for next week. Because I need you and want you to understand and have the proper mindset and mind map, so to speak, in order to get the most possible out of that interview with Brian. And this is something that's really important. I think I'm seeing more and more nowadays, way more than I did when this initial episode went live in 2021. These social medias are filled with people who say, oh, just progress this, add 2.5 pounds a side, change the exercise to be more difficult, add more weight, do more reps, do more sets. And as you'll hear, there are far more ways and more intelligent ways to progress your strength training. And this is something that I see in the gym when I go for my own session. I actually lift, believe it or not, in a regular Globo gym. It is a chain here. It's mostly teenagers to guys in their mid-30s, and I see their direct influence of what they are seeing on social media. So doing highly complex exercises just because they're difficult, and many of them, and I do not say this as an ego boost, I'm saying this because I want you to understand the difference between training for performance and training just to lift heavy stuff. For many of them, I've now been lifting there for a year, almost to the day, and I have surpassed them. They were lifting more than I was when I started, mostly because I had corona. I didn't have the energy or abilities to lift stuff, and I've far surpassed them. It's not I'm, 5 kilos more than them. I'm ripped past them. Part of it is because I had training years in my body from my time as a competitive powerlifter, but a lot of it is because I am training for performance. And I've got to tell you, the looks that I get from some of the exercises that my coach has me doing are very interesting. And I'm starting to see some of the guys are asking questions and waking up and realizing, hey, this dude is doing something. He's like double our age and he's doing stuff. And this is what this whole Strong Savvy Cyclist and Triathlete podcast is about, giving you the education and knowledge possible to help you build a better and brighter future. So lots of different stuff going on here. Just a really quick update, and then we'll jump into the episode. Number one is the track program is going extremely well. We're progressing to our second program for the year this year, and I'm very excited to do this. As we've gone over the last couple of weeks, we've had a number of riders who are sore. There is a time and a place to be sore in your strength training. Again, Brian and I will hopefully cover this. It's on the list of questions about soreness and how to deal with that and when it's good and when it's bad. And this is something that you'll hear more of me over the next couple of weeks. That is due in part because I am working on my second book, which we're scheduled to have it posted the end of February, or published rather, excuse me, not posted, February, March, 2024. And this is going to be geared towards masters athletes to help you understand essentially what we're talking about here. And that's where a lot of these guests that are coming up that you're going to hear are, it was research for the book to make sure that I'm up to speed with things. And also because it's bringing you along for the mind map improvement to help you get even more from that book when it is released. So keep your eyes and ears open on the strength training, Human Vortex Training website. And we'll release some tidbits here and there. Also in the Facebook group, HV Training, Strength Training for Cyclists and Triathletes group. It'll be really fantastic to have your input on the book there, and also to make sure the book is hitting what it needs to. So that's one of the fun things about self-publishing, especially these days. I decide what message is in there and how it is driven, not a publisher, not anybody else. And it also means I can pull it and update it. And that is what it's really about. Number two is, if you would like to train with me for the month of December 2023, I am opening a very special offer. I have never done this before. You can train with me for the month of December 2023 for $1. That's right. Think of it as a low-risk opportunity to give it a whirl, if you will. $1 for the rest of the month of December. This offer is only good until December 15th, 2023. The reason we're doing that is there has to be time for you to have at least 2 weeks worth of training. The dollar offer does not roll into January at all. So beginning of January, we would figure out what the next step would be for you, whether it's working individual with me or a pre-made program or working with someone else. So if you're interested, email me, B as in boy, R-O-D as in dog, I-E, Brody at humanvortextraining.com, or you can message me on Facebook or Instagram, and we will get you up and rolling as quickly as possible. Well, let's get into this episode from the archives, when and how to progress strength training. And next week, God willing, we will have Brian Carroll to tell us about lifting heavy stuff. So without much further ado, episode 177. We're going to start off with a story. Today, I actually had a dad for one of the athletes I work with, 48. He's gotten out of shape, and he's probably about 20 kilos, so about 45 pounds overweight. Fantastic guy, has an absolutely amazing... You can't ask for a better mindset when it comes to this. And on the other side, I have a mom of 7, and she had been with me about 3.5 years ago. We got her into some really good shape, not amazing, really good, where it was manageable with the kids and the schooling. One of the youngest actually wound up going through a little bit of a health issue. She had the strength, resilience, and fitness to make it through that. And she fell off the wagon. She got a new job, really intense, really stressful. And she's starting from absolute, and I mean absolute nothing. Fantastic woman. And these are two clients that I'm working with that are not cyclists or triathletes or basketball players or athletes at all. These are regular, everyday people. Now, why am I using a dad, 48, who's pretty strong and pretty good shape, but has quite a good amount of weight to lose, and a mom of 7 who has no fitness at all? Because these are individuals who are getting into cycling to lose weight, to get in shape, and to spend time with their kids. That is like most of us. The weight issue is separate. That's something that I think, I know I struggled with. I put on 14 kilos during the lockdowns we had in that year and a half. I've since lost about 2/3 of it. So I'm still a little bit heavier than I'd like, but many of us have put on weight through Corona. Now, some of us have gotten into fantastic shape riding the trainer a lot, and we'll see how that goes this winter with the psychological block that may come with that. But when it comes to strength training, the vast majority of us come from that background as these two, the mom and dad, separate families, by the way. And what's interesting is he hasn't really done a lot of exercise. He's done walks with his wife. That's where they enjoy spending time together. So they do 30-minute walks 3 or 4 days a week together. So they talk about stuff. They go at a good clip, but he wanted strength training. But he has a fantastic long-term view on things. And we've had this numerous conversations at his bringing up of, you know, I'm not worried about the weight right now. So today I brought it up. I said, if you really feel like working today, we can absolutely go up in the weight for the bench press and absolutely go up in the weight for the seated row. Although I am more focused on function and getting you to be able to move better. And this comes after another exercise, which we'll get to here in a minute. And he just keeps on coming back. Like, I don't worry about the weight. I just want to feel better, look better, and to lose this extra weight. I'm way too heavy. I'm enjoying spending time with my son and helping him shoot and get better and getting in better shape. But I am worried about 12 to 18 months. So that's one type of client that many of us are going to have, or many of us are, that we just look at cycling and the lifestyle and we say, okay, I got into it during the summer. I got back into it in the summer and now it's the fall. I had some fun, I experienced some stuff, I learned some new tricks, I learned some new skills, found some new routes, and now I actually want to build some fitness. So that's type number one. Type number two is like the mom of seven that I have. They've either put on some weight or they've fallen out of shape. They see cycling as low impact, which it may or may not be. We'll probably do an episode all about this in a couple weeks. I've really been mulling this over when I spend 15 or 20 minutes on the bench in the park watching the rowers go by after I drop off my son for pre-K in the morning. So that might be an episode coming up, but back on track. Sorry, I digress. She has experienced firsthand fantastic fitness. Now, again, we didn't hit the body composition goals, but we hit the fitness goals and smashed them, like really smashed them. I think at one point she was squatting. We got her actually to barbell back squatting. That took about 2.5 years. And we got her to barbell back squatting 40 kilos. And she weighed, I think, 60, 68. I mean, and for her, she came also from nothing back then. Although she had been walking and taking care of the kids. So any parent knows that that's a full-time job. And you get some exercise there. Now she's coming back, as many cyclists do, after a season, and really struggles with understanding that you can't go really hard. And the conversation we had, actually we didn't even have the conversation yet, it was through her husband, was she wants to wait until she loses some weight before she starts back strength training. And that's a big problem on a number of levels. Yet that's where a lot of cyclists are this time of year. I want to ride my bike on the trainer. I want to focus on my nutrition, lose a couple kilos, and then I'll start doing strength training. I don't want to bulk up. That's another one. Now she's great about that. She understands the process, adding lean muscle mass. We actually had her do the gym that I work out of, AI Fit. We have a fantastic facility, and part of it is having a measuring device for body fat percentage. And hers was the lowest that I and the individual who runs the testing has seen. And he's done something like 2,000 or 3,000 at this point. So quite a lot of individuals. I've done a number of I've seen a number of DEXA scans, done body skin folds, etc. Her body composition is really awful. And this, believe it or not, is like most cyclists. They've got really strong legs, but they're carrying either a lot of excess upper body fat. They are not strong enough in through their core. Remember, the core is everything between the neck, the elbows, and the knees. Or their upper body and their upper body is very weak. And they start having these degenerative issues. Degenerative being their posture changes. They're not able to maintain a good upright posture. They lose the ability to go into thoracic extension. So these are our two starting points for today. I know I went quite into depth about these two individuals, but that is really, really important that you understand that. And we're going to introduce a third person. We'll call her Sally. Sally is in her mid-30s. She's always been active. She did some type of activity in college. Let's say that she was a rower in college for the, not the team, but for the club. She also played volleyball recreationally in the league that they have. Can't remember what it's called, intramural league. And so she's always been active. This is going to be the other type of cyclist you have, where they've done a little bit of strength training here and there, you know, team sessions, or maybe they get into the gym for bikini season or for beach season or the springtime because they want to look better in their shorts or whatever it may be. These are our three general type of clients that are going to come to us. Very, very rarely, well, some of you coaches out there will have more of these. You're going to get the really, really strong fit cyclist who's like on top of their nutrition, their sleep, their riding. So we'll say four mesotypes. And that fourth one being, you know, someone who's serious about it, maybe even trying to go pro. When we're progressing our strength training exercises across these four, so we have the dad, 48, who needs to lose weight. He has a long-term view, is really enjoying the process and all about the process and understands the results will come as long as we're doing what we need to on a consistent basis. Then we have the mom of seven who has been through fitness. She's experienced herself. So maybe she was a really serious recreational rider, dropped a lot of weight, maybe had her second or third kid, and then it came back on, didn't really get into any fitness for a while, is now coming back. Our third one is what we talked about, someone in their mid-30s. She's always been active, never really done strength training. And then the fourth one is the serious professional or semi-professional rider. When it comes to progressing these, the only one that's going to be different out of all these is going to be her in the 30s. We'll call her Sally. I think that's what we said. The one who's played volleyball, done a little bit of strength training and dropped some weight and used weight training. She's going to be the exception out of these four. That should surprise many of you, even if you've been listening here on the SSCT podcast, because of her breadth of all of the activities she's done. Remember, we said volleyball, some rowing, some strength training. She did some cycling. She's always been active, played in team sports. She has a far higher level of athletic development. Even though she hasn't done anything at a high level, she's done a lot of different things. So she's managed to teach her body how to deal with different forces. Granted, because she's been away from those for quite some time, the adaptations have changed, but she's a far more resilient and far more developed athlete than the other three. Yes, this includes the serious cyclist. So remember, we said he or she is serious. They're counting their calories. They know exactly how many watts they're putting out, how much they're riding, how much they're sleeping, how much recovery, but they haven't done strength training really that much. They've done it off and on. So they're really good at one thing, and that's cycling. And that's all they've been doing for the last 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years. They do a little bit of strength training, some core work during the season, planks, side planks, crunches, sit-ups, those types of things. But their training level and general resiliency is going to be equal to that of the dad and the mom. Because if you give them a cycling workout that's really hard, they'll recover really quickly. When it comes to the strength training, not so much. We can really do some damage by thinking, hey, you, Scott, you are a fantastically developed cyclist, so I'm going to load you up with strength training because you look athletic and are very powerful. You can easily destroy that athlete, especially their spine, their hips, with heavy deadlifting, heavy squatting, without taking them back to basics. So let's get into the meat and potatoes of today's episode. I know it's a lot of buildup, but bear with me. This is important. We've got to build the pathway. All right, so we talked about the basics. All three of the ones that are on the same level, the mom, the dad, and the serious cyclist, who hasn't really done strength training before, kind of dabbled, they're going to start off with the fundamental 5+1 in each of their workouts. We're going to talk about the dynamic warm-up isn't going to include some of it, but they're actually also going to get some form of active work in those specific movements: push, pull, squat, hinge, press, and rotary stability. Now you may be thinking that's going to be a really long workout. Well, actually, no, it's not. We've got our breath work at the beginning, and I cover this in the book as well as the strength training for cyclist certification. We're going to start off with our breath work. 2 or 3 minutes of breath work, or 5 to 8 breaths, depending on what you're looking for. Then we're going to get into a little bit of soft tissue work, no more than 5 minutes. Usually you want to stay around 3, 30 seconds for each of the tight spots or the main focus areas. And then we're going to get into our dynamic warm-up, which will be 3 to 5 exercises, which usually is going to be where we're going to address most of the major issues. So each one of these is going to be individual for that particular person. So the mom and the dad are actually very different. He's doing much more balancing stuff. He's doing a whole lot more dynamic movements in his warm-up, whereas she's going through and doing some holds. Some isometric holds as she goes through, because we've got to really get those muscles, the mind-muscle connection. So the dynamic warm-up is an extension of the workout in her case, whereas for the serious cyclist, they'll probably fall somewhere in between those two. Whereas for Sally, our mid-30s-something female who's been very active in a number of things and very well-rounded and developed as an individual in the athletic sense, we can give her a little bit of jumping at the end of the dynamic warm-up. We can get her really moving. So her dynamic warm-up might look something like, a Statue of Liberty, switching sides, 1 set of 5. Then we could do some side lunge, hands overhead, set of 5 each side. We can get some inchworms, maybe set of 4 to 6, depending on how she's moving that day. We can even do some Palof press in the warm-up, maybe 1 set of 5 each side with a light band just to get things going. And then we can finish off with some very light jumps, maybe jump rope or line jumps or jumps for preparation. You can find each of those over on the HV Training YouTube channel at HV Training. And then we will get into the workout. So you'll notice that Sally's warm-up is pretty robust. I just banged out a couple of different exercises. Again, you can see each one of these over on the HV Training YouTube channel. There's a link in the show notes. And you can see that's pretty robust. Whereas for him, we started off with planks on the wall. Front planks, 10 seconds on, 5 seconds off. This is exactly what we did today. 10 seconds on, 5 seconds off. We did 4 rounds of that. Too easy, great. Hands on the box, 36-inch box. Excuse me, 24-inch box. And then we did same exact thing, 10 seconds on, 5 seconds off. Working, awesome. Got great activation of the serratus anterior through this. Got better head position. Then we went to side planks, elbow on the wall. And we went 15 seconds on, 5 seconds off, 3 rounds each side. Was really working and really feeling it at the end of that. From there, we went into Statue of Liberties, where he did 8 each side, where he really focused on getting the coordination to bring that leg up, balancing as he went through, spotting with his eyes. And he did a fantastic job, so much so that his shoulder blade was moving way better by the end, which meant, boom, we are able to move into a really nice, you got it, back squat. I know I've said here, don't go to the barbell. Remember, he is starting from a long-term approach, so I'm not worried about giving him the back squat and taking it away. In fact, last week we did the goblet squat, and he really struggled with it, but this week he's moving better, so we've got the back squat. And we went through, we did a set of 10 to warm up, had to correct a couple things. He looked very much like a cyclist, dumping his chest forward, not keeping straight spine. But as we went through, we did a couple breathing exercises in between the first 2 sets and really got him moving well. So much so that for him, the advancement from there was to work on his shoulder blades. And we can do a bunch of corrective stuff. And this is what I really want to hone in on today. When you're progressing your strength training, unlike everything that you see on Instagram or TikTok and much on YouTube, the easy answer is the right answer. And in his case, and I even said this to him, I promise you, I said this to him, I said, I'm going to give you a snatch press. So those of you who know what that is, go, how the heck are you giving a dad at 48 who's just getting started with you, 2.5 months in, a snatch press? Are you crazy? Have you lost your marbles? That's super advanced. The technique, how is it good? That was the simple answer for what he had going on. We did some sideline windmills. We did another breathing exercise. We got him to really open up his upper back, his thorax, his head position improved. And that was the simple solution or the simple approach instead of having him do the tall kneeling one-arm kettlebell press. And that is not up on the HV Training YouTube channel, but that will be coming in the coming months. That was the easy answer. And guess what? He crushed it and he loved it. Now, on the other side, one of the trainees in the gym was kind of eyeing me, looking at me like, how the hell? And this is a guy who's been practicing Olympic lifts for a couple months and struggles with the press. And I'm not saying that to impress you or to put this guy down. is just, he was giving me the dirty look, like, how the hell did you do that, man? I've been literally working on that damn thing for like 3 months and it still sucks. And I mean that in a nice way. Like, he's a really great guy. I talked to him a couple times and he works really hard. It's where this individual was on this day. And I said to the dad, I said, listen, I'm going to give you an advanced exercise today because it's the right thing for you. I can't promise you it's the right one for next week. Technically, to progress, we need to have exposure to the same movement. But today, the way you're moving, this is hands down the simple and easy answer to what you need. So instead of going to what we did last week, we're going to go to this one. And I expect that next week, if we're feeling clunky, we'll go down to the easier variation. Well, easier, not really easier, but more appropriate variation for where you are on that day. But these are our tools that we're going to work with right now. And he did fantastic with it. We wound up getting two sets of 8 and a set of 12 with the Olympic bar. So we got 45-pound bar, 20 kilos. Now, the advancement for him happened because of how he was moving. Last week, there was no way in hell I was even going to do that with him with the dowel. In fact, we did some shoulder pass-throughs where he barely got overhead, and we couldn't get those shoulder blades to unstuck. They just were stuck. Now, what's interesting is because he was coming back from photography on a safari where he actually saw, I think, 6 or 7 kills, which is really rare. He's like, yeah, here's the first day. In the first 15 minutes, we saw a kill. Crazy. I'm sorry for those animal lovers. That is nature. When we say kill, he goes and he photographs cheetahs, lions, and it was really interesting. Anyhow, I've digressed twice on the podcast today, and that's the easy progression. That's the way it goes. But if you look online, I just saw 3 or 4 posts today, which kind of pushed me to do this since we had that session. There are 3 or 4 coaches out there saying, hey, here's a great TRX workout for cyclists. And they bang out with questionable technique, literally 12 super technical and very advanced exercises with the TRX. And of course, as Jim Rohn would say, of course, there are like 67 comments like, oh, I'm going to try this. Oh, yeah, I did that. I'm so sore. Da, 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 da. Our job for our athletes is not to give them the super cool, super fancy exercises. Your job as an athlete is not to do the super cool, super flashy exercises. It's to do the simplest thing that's going to get you to where you need to be. The least amount of training stress necessary to get the desired response in the least amount of time. That is why, also in the book and in my courses, I talk about strength training. The sessions themselves at the beginning, including the dynamic warm-up, should take no more than 30 to 45 minutes. You know, and some people will read the book and be very surprised. They're like, how the hell can I do this? You know, you have A1, A2, B1, B2, C1, C2, and the dynamic warm-up. How can I possibly do that in 30 to 40 minutes? It's simple. You stick to the amount of work that you need. So it's not going to be 3 sets all the time. Maybe it's 2 of the A's and 2 of the B's and 3 of the C's because you need to work on that. The progression will happen in 1 of 3 ways. One is because the athlete or you are moving way better in a day. So you can take a little bit of a more advanced, or they're not moving that well and you need to take a much more basic tool out of your toolbox and use that instead. And if you don't have a lot of tools or you only have one tool, then you use that one tool. You don't try and make it fancy. You don't try and use a water jug that's half filled and try and do push presses or jerks with that because the kettlebell felt too easy that day. Instead, you add a set or two to your whatever exercise feels great. In this case that we talked about, the push jerk. Great, add another 2 sets, but I won't have time to do 3 rounds of C. That's okay. The A's are the A's because they're the most important. So your advancement for that week, because you're firing on all cylinders, isn't a heavy weight, isn't instability or instability of the weight, using water or instability standing on a Bosu ball or anything like that. It's adding a set or two, not to go to soreness. It could be also adding weight to the end. And this is where a lot of the programming I've done the last year, I'd say probably about 75 or 80% at the behest of some athletes, has been perceived exertion. And I've had a couple people really break that rule where they said, oh, and I know, I see it. I see it. I see it when I log in, but I don't say anything unless it's really egregious, which we thankfully didn't have. But I just see weak, 130 pounds for the back squat. 137.5 for the back squat. Couldn't finish the last set, only got 6 instead of 8 because was feeling tired. Well, why'd you go up in weight? Why didn't you lower the weight? Okay, not injured. And then the next week, 140. Had to skip the last set because it was too tired. Then the next week, 145. Really happy to have a plate on each side, but only managed one set and then two sets of three because it was too tired. That's not progressing. That's not following the recipe. That's saying, well, the recipe here calls for, it says baking soda, but I'll just use some soda water or seltzer instead. That's the same. And I'll add some powdered sugar. I'll mix those two together. And that's baking soda. That's my version of baking soda. It's going to come out awful. When it comes to the progression for your strength training, it comes down to one of two things. Well, three. Number one, first and foremost, you are moving much better for that same weight, that same RPE. Really, the RPE takes precedence over weight because the weight's going to vary day to day based on your neurological and hormonal status, as well as your sleep status, which is going to affect both of those, of course, quality sleep. That's number one. You're moving much better. And we're not talking about a one-off week. If you're moving much better in 1 week, the progression would be, again, like what we just talked about, an extra set. So that is a way of progressing. The A's take precedence over the B's. The B's take precedence over the C's. You still need to do the B's and C's. You can't spend, 18 sets. I would cap it at no more than 5 sets. So if you're still humming along at 5 sets, awesome. The program is working. Don't change the program. You just nailed 5 sets. Talk with your coach. Go back to the drawing board and look at how you're loading that. Maybe the loading scheme is off, or maybe something changed in the riding. They had a bike fit. That's happened a couple times here. Had a bike fit 2 or 3 weeks later, the program, these weights feel really light now. Huh, wow, they were really challenging. What's changed? And it took me a couple weeks sometimes to figure it out. Oh, right, you had the bike fit. You didn't tell me about that. Or let's talk about that. How is that change affecting you? Like, oh, I feel so much better. I don't have tension in my arms at all. Or my back feels way better. That's why you're squatting more, or you're deadlifting, or pressing overhead. So that's progression number one. You're moving better. And then we just progress by adding sets. Progression number two is going to be because now you're not getting a training response from that movement. So this is where it gets a little bit more convoluted and confusing. When we say you're not getting benefits, usually the strength training blocks here, I'll do 6 to 8 weeks for beginners and 5 to 7 for intermediate. Not the traditional 3-on-1-off that a lot of coaches are taught, because it's really simple. That's why they teach 3-on-1-off. Personally, I've had a problem with that since day one, but that's how they teach it. 3-on-1-off. Cool. That's a starting point. Why do they do it that way? Because if they add all the other stuff that I knew about, it would just confuse the hell out of most people. So I have a problem with the way it's taught, but the problem is me, not how they teach it. They do it right. They should at least introduce the other ways of doing things, but that's a podcast for another time. So the progression could be, we may cut your program for that movement short. So let's say we've been doing front squats to a box. Our progression at week 5, let's say, you're just crushing it. Your technique is great. So you check mark number one, you're moving great. Number two, we're not really seeing a lot of improvement. So week 4 and 5, you did the same weight, the same RPE. That means you're kind of stale. We could do it one more week, but let's say we've been working together for a year or two. So I know we could do another week, but Sam doesn't respond like that. So we need to change it. The progression is not going to a lunge, it's not going to a back squat, it's not going to super heavy squats. It is going to, okay, we're going to keep the same weight, or we're going to go down 10 to 15%, and we're going to add a pause on the box, keeping tension, don't relax. So you're going to do a front squat to box with a pause. We've now completely changed a large portion of that exercise. No longer are you down, touching, and coming up. Now you have to come down, control, maintain stiffness, and then come up. That's your progression. It's not adding weight to the bar. In fact, as I said, we went down in weight. So that's progression number two. Progression number three is what I did with the dad. We see that you're moving really well, so we're going to go to a more advanced exercise. Now, again, it really depends on how big the Rolodex in your head is of exercises. At this point, I've probably got a couple thousand in my head. I think we have something like 1,500 or 1,400 up on the YouTube channel in the back end for the HVT clients and athletes. And there's a whole bunch more that I still want to film. And what happens is, as you go through, you need to start with the basics. Like we just talked about, a front squat to a box is one of the most basic ways to learn how to front squat, because it gives you support, you have a safety, it's teaching you to go straight down, you stand over the corner of the box. I talk about this also on the HV Training YouTube channel, how to box squat properly. We'll do a separate one on that, I'm sure, here in the later winter. But these are all things that are advancements. It's not increasing the weight. You change how the individual needs to do the weight. One of my favorites that my coach taught me about 3 years ago was a sumo deadlift, which I sucked at immensely. My hips don't really work that way, despite playing ice hockey goalie, or, well, roller hockey goalie. I wanted to play ice hockey, but the equipment was super expensive. So roller and deck hockey goalie. So we did sumo deadlift with a pause, a 1 second to 2 second pause, 2 inches off the ground. Oh my Lord, did that ever mess me up? Not from a soreness standpoint, but neurologically. Because I was saying to him, hey, and he's been on the podcast before, so you can listen, episode 81 or 82 with Miguel Arganzillo, where we talk about movement and progression of movement, moving better. And then episode 82 is the movement, the golden ticket to performance. Man, neurologically, that just, I said to him, I remember it very vividly. I wrote him an email and said, hey, I'm really crushing these deadlifts. I'm really loving it. I'm a deadlift kind of guy. Let's go up in the weight. And he didn't respond. And anytime that happens, I know I'm in trouble. So he didn't respond. So I go in, I think the next week or 2 weeks later, something like that. I think it was 2 weeks later. And I have these sumo deadlift with pause 2 inches off the ground. And the weights were much lower. Hey, I do it too, guys. I do it too. I just wrote an email back. I'm like, are you sure that weight's right? And he's like, just try it for the first week. Let me know how it goes. Oh, man. So we're always learning new tricks and losing that ego. I just posted in the HV Training, Strength Training for Cyclists and Triathlete group on Facebook, which is free. All you have to do is answer the three questions. And it boggles my mind that people only answer one question. Just answer the three questions. That's all you have to do. If you don't answer the three questions, you don't get in. It's that simple. It's nothing hard. Sorry, I just find it funny. You know, people are like running. Like, that's not the question. So we can progress that way. And these are the simple things. We have to learn to check our ego at the door. And I just posted in the group a video, I think 1989, Ed Cohn, one of, if not the greatest powerlifter of all time, never missed a lift in practice as far as I know. Maybe he missed one somewhere, where you watch his setup for the squat. Mark Reifkin actually posted the video originally. I need to connect with him and see if he'll come on the podcast here, because he's a great mind. He shared it. And one of the things that I loved about Ed Cohn when I was powerlifting growing up, this is many years ago, I powerlifted young. I think I was 16 when I won my first local competition against two of my friends who became cyclists under me, Samson and Nemo, an absolute beast mode cyclist, by the way. So at the age of 16, think about that. They both went from powerlifting and being super duper duper strong to being super duper strong on the bike and still having that strength to be able to move stuff. Although we didn't train strength training back then. It was really interesting. And if you join the group, you'll see it. It's dated the 25th of November, 2021. The time he takes to get set up under the bar, he looks at his hands, he's looking down at his feet, he makes sure everything is locked in before he takes a 799-pound back squat. That's how we want to be, and that's how we want our athletes to be for our regular squat. We don't have to take quite as long, but you'll see so many people just duck under the bar and squat. Granted, back squatting is at the way end of the progression. Again, I talk about this in the certification course, but the barbell back squat is literally the last stop for cyclists. Same for the dad. We've worked over this, and it just happens to be the right exercise for him. The way he moves, it addresses his issues, it calls them out and allows us to correct things. And that's how we wound up doing a snatch press, because we addressed all the issues and he's moving well. Great, let's move. So that's how you can progress, is learning how to add either pauses or change the tempo. And also changing the speed. And this is something I haven't shared publicly, but there's something called speed squats, speed deadlifts. I won't go into detail here. That'll be something we put out in the HV training channel eventually. Please do not do this with your athletes. Please, because you need to have quite a bit of experience in coaching to be able to coach it right. But speed squats and speed deadlifts, where you're using 20 maximum 30% of estimated one rep max, and you're going maximum speed for a very few short amount of reps. So we're talking like 3 to 5 repetitions really, really fast with really great technique. And for the deadlift, it's off of blocks because we don't want them coming all the way down. And it's really, really hard. And you throw them into the program and the athlete's not ready. You know the athlete is not ready. My back hurts. You see the video. You're like, oh, what happened to your deadlift? It was perfect last week. Right, we added speed. Because now you're challenging the brain to move in a different way. So that's the other thing. When I say speed, specifically, I'm talking about tempo. So for example here, one of the progressions that we laid out in the book is the 3-1-3-1, moving to 2-1-1-1, moving to 2-1-X-1. For any of the big three movements, so bench press, deadlift, or squatting. And these are all different forms of these exercises, so don't just think barbell. That's how you can progress it. 3-1-3-1, learn to master the control. 2-1-1-1, learn how to master the pause with a little bit of speed on the way up. And then 2-1-X-1. You don't increase the weight. You keep the same exact weight, you just change how the athlete is moving the weight. That's progression. And you do that when the athlete either decreases their responses, so they're not seeing increases in their feeling. They say it's pretty easy, it's RPE of 5. They go up in weight, 5 pounds, and they say it's really light still. Or you're seeing that they're moving really, really well for that. But minimum, you want to do 3 to 4 weeks of dosing for that, unless you see that's really the wrong tempo for them and they're really struggling or really excelling at that. In which case, you have our last option, and that is to increase load. Notice, that is last, like at the way end, the ladder, the end of the four. And it's hard. It's very hard, especially you're dealing with adult athletes, you know, and this is where Sally, as we called her, will understand the process probably, or she'll really want to push and you've got to hold her back and say, look, you have all this experience for these different sports. You can do really well with this. Let's learn how to move well and how to create impulses in the body and control stiffness and get speed as opposed to just lifting heavy things up and putting them down. Now, she may come back to you and say, yeah, but so-and-so is doing it. Her squat is now 165 pounds and I've always been better than her. So I want to do 165. Then you have the conversation of, do you want performance or do you want to beat whoever, Betty, at back squats or whatever squats they're doing? And if she wants to beat Betty, sure, okay, just recognize that we're now not training for performance. We are training to beat Betty at an exercise. And that might be what she wants. That's totally okay. But going through that conversation and saying, that's not going to make you better as a cyclist, as an athlete, is going to get you much further along. So we're going to wrap up here and talk about the mom of 7, because we talked about the dad a lot. We talked about the cyclist who's going to be treated like the mom as well. And we talked about Sally. But when it comes to the mom, there's a couple important things. For someone like this, you're going to have a very small, quote unquote, cup, so to speak. So you're not really going to be progressing per se. You're going to be increasing repetitions or sets, depending on where they are that day. So there have been a couple times that I've met her where we've increased the sets because she just doesn't have the energy to maintain good technique for more reps. Same exact weight. So instead of doing 3 sets of 8, we did 4 sets of 5. Think about that. That is still in the hypertrophy range. We've just added a set. So we're keeping her fresh enough to keep good technique. Now, the other side of things is she does not have the capacity in her to do a squat and a hinge and a bench press and a row and a pull and a press and rotary stability loaded. So what did we do with her? How the hell do you get someone like that all the things that they need? We worked on, you know, what Dr. McGill calls essentially the potty squat or the baseball squat, where you slide the hands down, you get into a hinge. She hinged down to her hands. We had a box next to her, the 32-inch box, 34-inch box. And then she did a lunge down to the ground, got onto the second knee, went into a hinge back on the ground or a squat, squatted back up from her knees, lunged up, and then stood and took two, three steps up from the lunge to help her get some momentum and get her going. That was her first exercise. Got her heart rate up, got her working, identified a couple of different things that she does in her day-to-day life when she's sitting up and getting down, corrected them there. From there, we went into suitcase carry, which usually is at the end. So this is a little bit advanced. That's not really fair to you if you have done the courses, because that's an exception, but that's what was right for her. Again, that's what the course is about. That's why the strength training certification. Someone asked me a very direct question. I said, I don't know the answer. I don't know the athlete. They're like, well, I just need an answer for this one thing with the shoulder. I don't know. I haven't seen the athlete. I can't give you, there's no one answer. There's the common answer, but that's not always the right answer. And you can really screw folks up that way. So with this individual, that's where we started. And then from there, we went onto the bike for 3 minutes. And then we took a water break for 3 minutes. Then we went to bench press with the bar because the dumbbells was way too much for her to control. So again, even though the dumbbell is the first progression, with her, they were going to fall on her or cause damage. So then we go to the bar and we start off with the 14 kilo bar. Very easy for her. Well, not very easy, easy enough. And we did 3 sets of 8. And then we did seated rows, which she smashed. She did really well with those. And that was our session. And you may say, well, what about the press? The press was in our warm-up. We had, I don't remember what the exercise was. I think it was wall scapular slides. That was our press. We covered everything. And guess what? That took 35 minutes. And our progression is just, okay, we added a set last week. You're feeling a little bit tired. We're going to try doing one more repetition in the first set. Oh, great. That went well. Now we're going to do 5 for the next set, and then 4, and then 3. We're going to add 2 more sets, 2 and then 1. And she did fantastic because we kept the training cup. So that progression happens by better movement. Not weight on the bar, not just adding more reps to set 3 sets of 8, 3 sets of 10, 3 sets of 15. That's not how it works. So progression happens in a number of ways, which we've discussed today, the 4 different ways. We talked about each of the different individuals. And we ended here talking about the mom or your beginner cyclist who hasn't done any other strength training ever in their life, how we will use some very basic daily movements, sliding your hands down your thighs, creating a crotch or an L between your thumb and your index finger, locking your elbows, sliding your hips back into a hinge, keeping your spine straight, getting down to the floor in a lunge pattern, keeping your spine straight, loading the glutes, getting a squat pattern, squatting down, coming back up with a squat, getting into lunge, and then pushing up and forward. We just covered a human movement that they need to learn anyhow, which can help improve their resiliency from riding, getting up and down off the ground, and they're able to do more. And then you just progress from there, more repetitions or more sets, fewer repetitions. But it's not adding load. It's not going to TRX and doing these crazy things. A lot of people think TRX is harmless. It can do a lot of harm. You can really screw people up. It's an unstable surface. You've got a lot of movement there. It's a very difficult lever arm. I mean, think about it. These are special ops guys and gals who created this system and made it popular. So these are some really highly trained individuals who came up with this. So keep that in mind. TRX is not an easy or low impact way. It's very challenging, and we want to teach our athletes how to move better. So that's how to progress and when to progress. So when they're moving better, when they're not getting the desired evoked training stimulus response, so we're not seeing them get better, they're staying about the same, or their perceived exertion is going down, and how to progress it. We went through the 4. So if you enjoyed this episode, please hit the subscribe button and give us a review. And until next time, remember, train smarter, not harder, because it is all about you. Hey, Menachem here, and I just wanted to ask if you enjoyed this episode or any of the previous Strong Savvy Cyclist and Triathlete podcast episodes, please hit the subscribe button. Our goal here is to hit 50,000 subscribers or followers in 2023 before year's end, and it would really mean a lot to me to have your support and to know that you are out there listening, looking forward to each weekly episode that we put out here at the SSCT podcast. Thanks, and have a great week. Talk to you guys next Sunday.
That's it for this episode. Check out humanvortextraining.com for more great content and to keep learning.